attentive to the divine spirit, thinking I did well to continue when I had time, even without feeling his immediate impulse or enlightening influence, from whence it is easy to see some places clear and consistent, in others which have neither taste nor unction. Such is the difference of the Spirit of God from the human and natural spirit. Although they are left just as I wrote them, yet I am ready, if ordered, to adjust them according to my present light. Didst thou not, O my God, turn me 100 ways to prove whether I was without any reserve through every kind of trial, or whether I had not yet some little interest for myself? My soul became hereby readily too pliable to every discovery of the divine will, and whatever kind of humiliations attended me, to counterbalance my Lord's favor till everything high or low was rendered alike to me. Methinks the Lord acts with his dearest friends as the sea with its waves. Sometimes it pushes them against the rocks where they break in pieces. Sometimes it rolls them on the sand or dashes them on the mire. Then instantly it retakes them into the depths of its own bosom, where they are absorbed with the same rapidity that they were first rejected. Even among the good and far greater parts are souls only of mercy. Surely that is well. But to appertain to divine justice, oh, how rare and yet how great. Distributive in favor of the creature. But justice destroys everything of the creature without sparing anything. The lady who was my particular friend began to conceive some jealousy on the applause given me, God so permitting, if for the further purification of her soul through this weakness and the pain it caused her. Also some confessors began to be uneasy, saying that it was none of my business to invade their province and to meddle in the helps of souls, that there were some of the penitents which had a great affection for me. It was easy for me to observe the difference between those confessors who, in their conducting of souls, seek nothing but God, and those who seek themselves therein. The first came to see me and rejoiced greatly at the grace of God bestowed on their penitents, without fixing their attention on the instrument. The others, on the contrary, tried underhand to stir up the town against me. I saw that they would be in the right to oppose me if I had intruded of myself, but I could do nothing but what the Lord made me do. At times there came some to dispute and oppose me. Two friars came, one of them a man of profound learning and a great preacher. They came separately, after having studied a number of difficult things to propose to me. Though they were matters far out of my reach, the Lord made me answer as justly as if I had studied them all my life, after which I spoke to them as he inspired me. They went away not only convinced and satisfied, but affected with the love of God. I still continued writing with a prodigious swiftness, for the hand could scarcely follow fast enough the spirit which dictated. Through the whole progress of so long a work, I never altered my manner, nor made use of any other book than the Bible itself. The transcriber, whatever diligence he used, could not copy in 5 days what I wrote in one night. Whatever is good in it comes from God only. Whatever is otherwise from myself, I mean from the mixture which I have made, without duly attending to it, of my own impurity with his pure and chaste doctrine. In the day I had scarcely time to eat, by reason of the vast numbers of people which came thronging to me. I wrote the canticles in a day and a half, and received several visits besides. Here I may add to what I have said about my writings, that a considerable part of the Book of Judges happened by some means to be lost. Being desired to render that book complete, I wrote again The Places Lost. Afterward, when the people were about leaving the house, they were found. My former and latter explications, on comparison, were found to be perfectly conformable to each other, which greatly surprised persons of knowledge and merit, who attested the truth of it. There came to see me a counselor of the Parliament, a servant of God, who, finding on my table a tract on prayer, which I had written long before, desired me to lend it. Having read it and liked it much, he lent it to some friends to whom he thought it might be of service. Everyone wanted copies of it. He resolved, therefore, to have it printed. The impression was begun and proper approbations given to it. They requested me to write a preface, which I did, and thus was that little book printed. This counselor was one of my intimate friends and a pattern of piety. The book has already passed through 5 or 6 editions, and our Lord has given a very great benediction to it. Those good friars took 1,500 of them. The devil became so enraged against me on account of the conquest which God made by me that I was assured he was going to stir up against me a violent persecution. All that gave me no trouble. Let him stir up against me ever so strange persecutions. I know they will all serve to the glory of my God. Chapter 17. A poor girl of very great simplicity, who earned her livelihood by her labor and was inwardly favored of the Lord, came all sorrowful to me and said, "O my mother, what strange things have I seen?" I asked what they were. "Alas," said she, "I have seen you like a lamb in the midst of a vast troop of furious wolves. I have seen a frightful multitude of people of all ranks and robes, of all ages, sexes, and conditions, priests, friars, married men, maids, and wives, with pikes, halberds, and drawn swords, all eager for your instant destruction. You let them alone without stirring or being surprised and without offering any way to defend yourself. I looked on all sides to see whether anyone would come to assist and defend you, but I saw not one." Some days after, those who through envy were raising private batteries against me broke forth. Libels began to spread. Envious people wrote against me without knowing me. They said that I was a sorceress, that it was by a magic power I attracted souls, that everything in me was diabolical, that if I did charities, it was because I coined and put off false money, with many other gross accusations, equally false, groundless, and absurd. As the tempest increased every day, some of my friends advised me to withdraw, but before I mention my leaving Grenoble, I must say something farther of my state while here. It seemed to me that all our Lord made me do for souls would be in union with Jesus Christ. In this divine union, my words had wonderful effect, even the formation of Jesus Christ in the soul of others. I was in no wise able of myself to say the things I said. He who conducted me made me say what he pleased, and as long as he pleased. To some I was not permitted to speak a word, and to others there flowed forth, as it were, a deluge of grace. And yet this pure love admitted not of any superfluity or a means of empty amusement. When questions were asked to which an answer were useless, it was not given me. It was the same in regard to such as our Lord was pleased to conduct through death to themselves, and who came to seek for human consolation. I had nothing for them but what was purely necessary, and could proceed no further. I could at least only speak of indifferent things, in such liberty as God allows in order to suit everyone and not to be unsociable or disagreeable to any, but for his own word, he himself is the dispenser of it. Oh, if preachers were duly careful to speak only in that spirit, what fruits would they bring forth in the lives of the hearers? With my true children, I could communicate best in silence, in the spiritual language of the divine word. I had the consolation some time before to hear one read in St. Augustine a conversation he had with his mother. He complains of the necessity of returning from that heavenly language to words. I sometimes said, "Oh, my love, give me hearts large enough to receive and contain the fullness bestowed on me." After this manner, when the Holy Virgin approached Elizabeth, a wonderful commerce was maintained between Jesus Christ and St. John the Baptist, who after this manifested no eagerness to come to see Christ, but was drawn to retire into the desert, to receive the like communications with the greatest plenitude. When he came forth to preach repentance, he said, not that he was the Word, but only a voice which was sent to make way, or open a passage into the hearts of the people, for Christ the Word. He baptized only with water, but that was his function, for as the water is running off, leaves nothing, so does the voice when it is past. but the Word baptized with the Holy Ghost, because he imprinted himself on souls and communicated with them by that Holy Spirit. It is not observed that Jesus Christ said anything during the whole obscure part of his life, though it is true that not any of his words shall be lost. O love, if all thou hast said and operated in silence were to be written, I think the whole world could not contain the books that should be written. John 21:25. All that I experienced was shown me in the Holy Scripture. I saw with admiration that there passed nothing within my soul which was not in Jesus Christ and in the Holy Scriptures. I must pass over very many things in silence, because they cannot be expressed. If they were expressed, they could not be understood or comprehended. I often felt much for Father Lacombe, who was not yet fixed in his state of interior death, but often rose and fell into alternatives. I was made sensible that Father Lacombe was a vessel of election, whom God had chosen to carry his name among the Gentiles, and that he would show him how much he must suffer for that name. A carnal world judges carnally of them, and imputes to human attachment what is from the purest grace. If this union by any deviation be broken, the more pure and perfect it is, the more painfully will it be felt. The separation of the soul from God by sin being worse than that from the body of death. For myself, I may say that I had a continual dependence on God in every state. My soul was ever willing to obey every motion of the Spirit. I thought there could not be anything in the world which he could require from me, to which I would not give myself up readily and with pleasure. I had no interest at all for myself. When God requires anything from this wretched nothing, I find no resistance left in me to do his will, how rigorous soever it may appear. If there is a heart in the world of which thou art the sole and absolute master, mine seems to be one of that sort. Thy will, however rigorous, is its life and its pleasure. To resume the thread of my story, the Bishop of Grenoble's almoner persuaded me to go for some time to Marseille to let the storm pass over. He told me that I would be well received there, it being his native soil, and that many people of merit were there. I wrote to Father Lacombe for his consent. He readily gave it. I might have gone to Verceil, for the Bishop of Verceil had written me very obliging letters, earnestly pressing me to come. But a human respect and fear of affording a handle to my enemies gave me an extreme aversion thereto. Beside the above, the Marchioness of Prunai, who, since my departure from her, had been more enlightened by her own experience, having met with a part of the things which I thought would befall her, had conceived for me a very strong friendship and intimate union of spirit, in such a manner that no two sisters could be more united than we. She was extremely desirous that I would return to her as I had formerly promised her, but I could not resolve upon this, lest it should be thought that I was gone after Father Lacombe. There had been no room given to anybody to accuse me of any indirect attachment to him, for when it depended on myself not to continue with him, I did not do it. The Bishop of Geneva had not failed to write against me to Grenoble, as he had done to other places. His nephew had gone from house to house to cry me down. All this was indifferent to me, and I did not cease to do to his diocese all the good in my power. I even wrote to him in a respectful manner, but his heart was too much closed to yield to anything. Before I left Grenoble, that good girl I have spoken of came to me weeping and told me that I was going, and that I hid it from her, because I would have nobody know it, but that the devil would be before me in all the places I should go to, that I was going to a town where I would scarce be arrived before he would stir up the whole town against me, and would do me all the harm he possibly could. What had obliged me to conceal my departure was my fear of being loaded with visits and testimonies of friendship from a number of good persons who had a very great affection for me. I embarked then upon the Rhone with my maid and a young woman of Grenoble, whom the Lord has highly favored through my means. The Bishop of Grenoble's almoner also accompanied me with another very worthy ecclesiastic. We met with many alarming accidents and wonderful preservations, but those instant dangers which affrighted others, far from alarming me, augmented my peace. The Bishop of Grenoble's almoner was much astonished. He was in a desperate fright when the boat struck against a rock and opened at the stroke. In his emotion, looking attentively at me, he observed that I did not change my countenance or move my eyebrows, retaining all my tranquility. I did not so much as feel the first emotions of surprise, which are natural to everybody on those occasions, as they depend not on ourselves. What caused my peace in such dangers as terrifying others was my resignation to God, and because death is much more agreeable to me than life, if such were his will, to which I desire to be ever patiently submissive. A man of quality, a servant of God, and one of my intimate friends had given me a letter for a knight of Malta, who was very devout and whom I have esteemed since I have known him, as a man whom our Lord designed to serve the order of Malta greatly, and to be its ornament and support by his holy life. I had told him that I thought he should go thither, and that God would assuredly make use of him to diffuse a spirit of piety into many of the knights. He has actually gone to Malta, where the first places were soon given him. This man of quality sent him my little book of prayer and printed at Grenoble. He had a chaplain very averse to the spiritual path. He took this book and, condemning it at once, went to stir up part of the town, and among the rest a set of men who called themselves the 72 disciples of St. Cyran. I arrived at Marseille at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that very afternoon all was in a noise against me. Some went to speak to the bishop, telling him that, on account of that book, it was necessary to banish me from the city. They gave him the book, which he examined with one of his prebends. He liked it well. He sent for Monsieur Malaval and a Father Recollect, who he knew had come to see me a little after my arrival, to inquire of them from whence that great tumult had its rise, which indeed had no other effect on me than to make me smile, seeing so soon accomplished what that young woman had foretold me. Monsieur Malaval and that good father told the bishop what they thought of me, after which he testified much uneasiness at the insult given me. I was obliged to go to see him. He received me with extraordinary respect and begged my excuse for what had happened, desired me to stay at Marseille, and assured me that he would protect me. He even asked where I lodged that he might come to see me. Next day the Bishop of Grenoble's almoner went to see him with that other priest who had come with us. The Bishop of Marseille again testified to them his sorrow for the insults given me without any cause, and told them that it was usual with those persons to insult all such as were not of their cabal, that they had even insulted himself. They were not content with that. They wrote to me the most offensive letters possible, though at the same time they did not know me. I apprehended that our Lord was beginning in earnest to take from me every place of abode, and those words were renewed in my mind. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In the short time of my stay at Marseille, I was instrumental in supporting some good souls, and among others an ecclesiastic, who till then was unacquainted with me. After having finished his thanksgiving in the church, seeing me go out, he followed me into the house in which I lodged. Then he told me that the Lord had inspired him to address me and to open his inward state to me. He did it with as much simplicity as humility, and the Lord gave him through me all that was necessary for him, from whence he was filled with joy and thankful acknowledgments to God. Although there were many spiritual persons there, and even of his intimate friends, he never had been moved to open his mind to any of them. He was a servant of God and favored by him with a singular gift of prayer. During the 8 days I was at Marseille, I saw many good souls there. Through all my persecutions, our Lord always struck some good stroke of his own right hand and that good ecclesiastic was delivered from his anxiety of mind, which had much afflicted him for some years. After I had left Grenoble,